Good morning. So with a little bit of humor, I pray that I won't preach till midnight and that no one will fall out a window. But as we've been going through the Sermon on the Mount, which I really believe if we can grab hold truly of the message as a whole, it's going to change our lives while we're here. And Jesus, we're in chapter 6, and he is in the area speaking of the lying up of treasure. A couple weeks back we talked about, for where our treasure is, there our hearts will be also. And so now, this is a short verse. He's going to emphasize in verse 24, Jesus says at the end of that treasure in heaven thought that no one can serve two masters, for either he'll hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. When I look at this, and when we see this, there's something significant about Jesus' message. Because remember, not everyone here on the Mount that's listening in is a rich person. There was the poor among them. Now the disciples were there, they heard. They were just ordinary, everyday school guys following the Messiah. And yet, yes, there was rich people. We know the Pharisee system was rich. I mean, they went after wealth. But I think about America. We're still the richest country in the world. Still. After all of what we've gone through, the monies we've spent. But I think something really that stands out is that all throughout history, from the Sermon on the Mount and Jesus mentioning that we can't serve God and money, even all the way back to when Moses was given the law and he was leading the Israelites to the promise. In Deuteronomy 8, he says, "Don't forget me," God says. "Whatever prosperity you're given in life as my followers, don't forget me." And I think that should stand out for all of us, because it's so easy still today for us to wrestle with our loyalty to God first and the pursuit of wealth. The King James says mammon, prosperity, money. Remember, Jesus says we can't serve that. He doesn't say we shouldn't pursue money over him, but he says you can't. Have you ever heard the thought, money talks? I mean, in America, we're the richest country, people say, "Oh, show me the money." All these statements about money. But for a Christian, money can become a god over God. And so there is a significance of why Jesus is emphasizing we can't serve this way. It does influence all of us in one way or another. As I've shared during the Lord's Supper and taking the communion and even taking a collection for God's people in the church. And we can't live without it, but we can't live with it either. So today, the message on this topic is two masters. And I put a question mark. Jesus plainly says no one can serve two masters. So that'll be the first point. And in that love-hate relationship, it's a balance to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to not fall into that love and pursuit for money. Because the world in America, when I was a boy, they'd say, money makes the world go around. And to serve God only. This is what Jesus is getting to in his sermon. We'll see the priorities. not to put our minds on things above, or on the earth, but on to put them on things above, to not love money or pursue money over God, and to not, we'll talk about it next week, but the worrying that goes on and how am I going to pay the next bill? Again, not all of us have a lot of money, but we are the wealthiest country, and probably the poorest among us is probably much richer than some of the conversation I've had with people that live in third world country and their families. But serve God only. One verse, but there's truth to it. We have a choice who we're going to serve.
Amen.
We do. This isn't something throughout life that we all of a sudden get edged out, because God gives us the choice to make to serve Him. And money's the strongest, I believe, the strongest influence next to God. Money can become God. And that's why Jesus emphasizes it over and over again in the Bible. He says, don't get wrapped up in that. It's a tool to be used to benefit you and others, but don't let it trap you. And that's the problem, is people have the error of they have one foot in the kingdom of God and one foot in the world pursuing that. It's a real battle between us and God and us and money. And it's the heart. It comes down to our heart. We can't serve two masters. We have to acknowledge the one master every day, to be grateful and thankful for what we do have. The one authority we talk about is God first. Most people are dominated by material possessions. And that's what Jesus said. Don't serve these. Don't let these things be served over my Father in heaven. Because the world does have values. Everybody has a value in life, what's most important. And money is the world's value. This is how the world functions. Money, money, money. But Jesus says it's impossible to serve the true God of heaven in money. For the Christian, ask yourself, I included, am I trusting God? Because this is where Jesus is going with this message. Do you trust in God who provides everything without backing off from your commitment to Him? Do you let work, life come in and choke the word out of your life that makes it unfruitful? God desires there's nothing new in this message. Undivided attention. God's a jealous God. He wants us to serve Him first. We can't share our hearts with another master. Satan's the master of this world. The Bible describes him as the ruler. We can't see God, who's invisible. We can't even see the battle around us, but we know it's there. We need to be very thankful that we even have an opportunity to serve our Master and Father in heaven and not be controlled. But we have to be careful not to be controlled by the other master, by being honest with each other and always having messages that call us back to God first. Paul said it this way. The Apostle Paul said, I've learned the secret of being content. And there is something about the contentment in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether in living plenty or in want, I can do everything through Him who gives me strength. Amen. Again, it's all of our circumstances have to have that commitment that comes with God. There's no secret of contentment without realizing God sees all, He's in control of all, and we don't have to worry when we're in His kingdom about everything around us. This is what He's saying, I believe. We only have one master. And then we have that love-hate idea. Because He says, and either we will hate, Jesus said this, hate the one and love the other. or he'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. That's why Jesus said we can't serve the money. Our desire for wealth, and I say it this way, desire, because if somebody says, I'm going to give you $1 million, maybe there's a couple millionaires in this audience, maybe, but if someone says, I'm going to give you $1 million, but you have to move to Florida, would you move to Florida right now? Or would your commitment, and I say this before God, if someone says, God, I need you to come preach in Florida, I'll give you $1 million, would we take it? Would we seek the kingdom first to help each other out who we've been with in our relationships, or would we just pack it up and go for the money? See what I'm saying? The test is always before all of us. The world is tested by it, but what about us? Are we tested by wealth, the desire for it? Because that's in competition with God's kingdom. Are we seeking God's kingdom? And we'll get to that. We either love God's kingdom or our other pursuit takes over. After this, in our worship of God, when we come together, and our relationships that we're supposed to be having with each other, after this, the other pursuit will kick in. That's why Jesus is so stern on not serving money, because that's the trap. That's the other God. And that's what happens. They're in competition. Judas. We think of Judas's life. He's one of the 12. Some of the conversation we have with people is, well, Judas was really never right with God. Yes, he was. He was chosen by God, but he served two masters. This is the challenge for each and every one of us. We can come to God and love God, but still have two masters. He followed Jesus. This is Judas. He follows Jesus. We see it in scriptures. He's following him like the other 12. But he loves money. Now, we're not going to come out and say, we love money. I love money more than God. But our actions show. Look at Mary in that story in John chapter 12. She anoints Jesus with expensive perfume. Here's the example of the testing of the heart for the love of money. She gave what she had. She gave her best. I mean, this lard was worth a lot of money. This perfume, smelled really good. It was a very expensive, and she did her best, and Judas goes in right in there, and he says, couldn't that have been given to the poor? Now, we know Jesus says we're to give to the poor. No doubt about it. When we give, do it secretly, but give to the poor. There's poor people that need something, give them a little something. This guy says he's a follower of Jesus. Wow, Jesus. She could have gave it to the poor people, and yet you know what his motives were. He's stealing money and pocketing it himself, putting it right in his pockets. So, again, we aren't going to come out to each other and say, you love money more than God. But the test is, it can lead to people's betrayal of Jesus. And in 1 Timothy 6, read that chapter and see where people's hearts get trapped up and choked out by a love for things rather than God. And so, when we don't follow God, we end up serving another master. Judas, he dies. Now, when you die, we've heard the expression, you can't take anything with you. Obviously, no money. It's like, what, people get buried with expensive jewelry they died with that they owned, and that's about as best as it gets. Maybe their best suit and their best tie. But it's humbling to think that when we die, we don't take anything with us. Johnny mentions we come naked and we leave naked. No treasure in heaven. Here's a follower of Jesus. We read the sad stories in the Bible of men. And this is such a sad story. That the guy chosen by Jesus, following Jesus, given the miraculous gifts to help people, he's stuck on his money. No treasure in heaven, and when there's no treasure in heaven, there's no salvation. Point three is to serve God only. If there's nothing else to grasp out of this message, is to ask yourself, am I serving you, God, only? Is there anything in my life that shows you that I'm serving it and not you? Jesus, it says in Luke 4:8, it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve Him only. It's not a divided serving. It's we're either serving God in His kingdom or we're serving something else. We make plans based on God's promises. We have a hope in heaven. We set our mind on things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. We have treasures in heaven because we trust and love God more than anything here on the earth, even people. We're all about God's purpose. Serving Him even when no one is watching. Again, earlier in Jesus' message here in chapter 6, He says, when you do things, when you pray to Me, when you fast, when you give, do it secretly before My Father. And I still think this carries over of being Christians and who we're serving. That we don't need people to see, oh, he's a great servant of God. Not to say that we shouldn't set examples and people say, wow, that guy really loves God. But that we do it before God. We serve before God. Even when no one sees what we're doing in secret. It's for God's sake, not our own. We're obedient in the small things. Some things are just small and tiny. You know, we think about things getting in the way of our lives. Little things can just come in and choke us up. We get so distracted. Oh, I got to mow my lawn today. I got to do this. I got to weed the garden and this, that. I'm just saying, different things can distract us. And we need to be obedient to what God says. All throughout, even our small tasks we do in life every day. Trusting God, faithful to God. And what am I most committed to? What am I most committed to even today? What am I going to do today? You know, we ask the question, what are you doing this afternoon? Oh, what are you doing? What are we most committed to? Is God always on our mind? Are we serious about serving God first? Do we take time with God? We emphasize this in our classes that many men abandoned God because they weren't faithful in prayer to Him. And I'm saying this kindly and nicely, but that's our relationship to Him. We need to be as close as we can to God by faithfully praying to Him. To serve God requires that single-minded devotion. That's what Jesus is saying. He says, hone in on Me, hone in on My kingdom, because if we're not, the world takes over. The world does. That it wants to choke us out, make us unfruitful for the kingdom of God. To serve God requires that single-mindedness in the only Master. You know, we say, Jesus is Lord. We sing the song. He's the Master of our life. And we need to let Him be the Master in every situation, in every good time and every bad time. The Lord is the Master of our lives. Now, sternly, I did say, I must read my Bible. That's the mindset of serving God. I must read my Bible. Pray. These aren't uncommon thoughts, but it's a continual. Pray for other people. If you ever get bored as a Christian, there's plenty of people to pray for. You could spend days just praying for one another in this room. It takes a lot of heart and soul to really pray for one another. It takes a heart for the lost. This isn't just about ourselves. When we serve God, we're serving the lost around us. Now, we may not be able to win them all over to God. We want people saved, but we still have to continue to serve these lost people with the hopes that they'll turn to the God that we boast about and serve. And then fellowship with each other. I don't know if we can fully grasp how busy our weeks are. I understand. I'm in the shoes of all of us, having been given the opportunity to preach the word, can humble a man's soul quickly. But without beating anybody up, we need some type of relationships during the week. We can't go Sunday to Sunday and that's it. That's not Christianity. Yes, they met together and they broke bread. Significance. Absolutely the most important time we're together. But to have no relationships outside of worship and just come to worship can be a very dangerous place. God's never meant for us to be lone rangers. And then I think about Bible studies to grow. We need to be in the Word together to be able to grow as a church and mature as that mature man that Ephesians 4 talks about. This doesn't happen overnight. Some of us have been around for many, many years. Use your gift to serve others. If you can teach, be willing to teach. Be willing to be a brother to help other brothers grow. Serving others, it's a continual. And it's a kingdom perspective. We have to have a kingdom perspective because that's where Jesus is going when he says, don't worry about tomorrow, for not tomorrow has enough trouble of its own. So the invitation's simple. We can't have a divided life. No one can serve two masters. It's an absolute. You cannot. Jesus said you cannot. So don't even try. Some of us have tried to serve two masters. We're juggling life and busyness and guilty before all of you of that in life. I apologize when I wasn't seeking God's kingdom first and serving any of you. Just busy with work. All to Jesus. Do I surrender all to Him and His kingdom? When we sang that song, we talk about singing to God with reverence and awe and honesty. Is it all to Jesus that we surrender? Again, this is a challenge, but I think the Sermon on the Mount really can change our hearts to why we are doing what we do. Don't surrender to the wrong master. Don't do it. Don't do it. In Luke 14:26, Jesus is pretty stern. You know, if you really want to know as a litmus test, if you're really being a strong, faithful Christian, Jesus said, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. That is a stern, challenging thought. Because if we took that point blank for what it says, there wouldn't be many people to like at all. But Jesus is saying here, because in other passages, he says, if anyone doesn't love me more, and that includes money. He says, if these things, these relationships are trapping you, if the money's trapping you, the desires for other things are trapping you from loving me first, you can't be my disciple. And if there's somebody that isn't a disciple, that's okay. You can change. You can repent. This is the one gracious opportunity as Christians, as we claim to be like Jesus, that we can say, forgive me, Father. Help me to be more like your Son in following Him. But again, Jesus has to be the priority over all the people we love. I love a lot of people that aren't Christians. Love them to death. If I could die for them, I would, but I can't. But we have to love Jesus more and tell people the truth. We have to love Him more than these things of the world and any amount of money offered to us. Like I mentioned earlier, if someone says, I'll give you $1 million to move to Florida, what would I do? It's all over the place for anybody. But all members in Christ's kingdom that we read about in the Bible understand that their priority is God and not money. If there's anybody here that has made anything else their God other than God that we claim and needs help, let us all come together to need that help to draw closer to God. And if anyone isn't a Christian, we first must understand the word. But if you understand where you're at and you're missing the mark and you need your sins forgiven, right? This is missing the mark before God. We need to have the sins forgiven. And that way is to believe the word, understand the word, put our faith in Jesus, repent of our sins that we always talk about, and turn and be baptized, immersed in water, to have the sins from the inside out cleansed. We're baptized in Christ to have our sins washed away. That's the simplest as we can get with the gospel message, because the Bible teaches simple message. Repent, be baptized. Any one of you who's not saved, please come forward as we sing the invitation.